You are listening to Eastside Radio Podcast.
89.7 FM, Eastside Radio.
Well, no matter what type of music you're into, you can't help but be impressed by that. It's one of the most beautiful pieces of music ever written. It's called Eliza Aria, and it's composed by Elena Katz-Chernin, and it's being played there by Tamara Anna Chislovska, both of whom are amongst Australia's most epic modern classical musicians. The reality is that very few Australian composers have captured the public imagination quite like Elena Katz-Chernin. Her music is instantly recognisable, it's melodic, it's playful, it's poignant, and as far as being an Aussie icon, her music has been heard everywhere, from concert halls and opera stages to film scores, to theatre productions, and even television soundtracks. She's certainly one of our most celebrated and widely performed composers. And her latest recording is called Ancient Letters, which also features Tamara Anna Chislovska, and it's a good example. It includes a deeply moving concerto inspired by voices from Silk Road, full of colour, history and humanity. Elena Katz-Chernin joins me in the studio now. Elena, welcome to Monday Drive.
Thank you so much, Alan.
It's wonderful to see you.
It's wonderful to see you too.
Before we talk about the album, Elena, let's talk just a little bit about you. What are your memoirs? of 1975 as an 18-year-old graduate of a Moscow-based music school, lobbing into Australia?
I was very lucky and I'm very grateful that my parents decided that my father would join his sister, who was already living in Sydney, and would bring his whole family to Sydney. And I think the day we arrived in Australia from Russia was one of my favorite days.
Wow.
I just loved it so much. There was just feeling of this lightness and blue sky and abundance of generosity and welcoming and warmth. I remember being very excited.
You were an accomplished figure skater.
Yes, once upon a time, yes.
As a child, I must admit. Tell us about Boom Boom Laburne.
Oh, Boom Boom Laburne, her real name is Bernadette Ludwig. And she was a performer in this group called Cabaret Conspiracy, of which I was part of in 79 and 80. It was in Darlinghurst, based around those areas, Surrey Hills,
right.
and King's Cross, and lots of performance spaces also in the city. And we did a lot of performance like song, cabaret, dance. I played piano, if there was one. It was quite hard to source sometimes. The keyboards were just coming up in that time. It was quite a novelty to have a keyboard on stage at once we did. But it was a very exciting time. The performers came together once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And we performed. Nobody knew what we were performing.
No.
You didn't know beforehand much.
But was your entree into public performance?
Yeah, a little bit, but I of course was also performing as part of my study at the Sydney Conservatorium of Music.
Right.
We had performance-based 2 hours a week where we all had to perform every so often and in front of our peers, which is, by the way, the hardest
thing. It's terrifying.
Absolutely.
It's terrifying. I'm going to play you a little piece of music and I want to see if you can recognise it. That didn't take you long.
I know exactly what that is. It's called Russian Rag. It's
right.
A version for, I think, 7 or 8 instruments that I created to make up for not enough time on an album. So we had music on an album called Clocks.
Clocks, that's right.
And we said it was too short. So I thought, I'll place that piece in there too. It was quite different style of music to the rest of the program. And until then, it existed only as a piano piece. So this was an arrangement that I made specifically for that recording.
However, it has been performed around the world.
Quite a lot. And I've since then made many, many more versions of the same piece. And
But it was this version, was it not, that was used as the theme music for the ABC Radio National's Late Night Live program?
Yes, this and another version called Why Not, which was for trombone, clarinet and piano. And it was something that Philip Adams called Waltz of the Wombats.
Waltz of the Wombats.
So there were these two versions he used.
Let's listen to a little bit more of this. I mentioned it was used on the ABC Radio National's Late Night Live program until 2010, but then it was replaced, wasn't it? Do you remember what replaced it?
Another piece of mine,
yes.
Called Eliza Aria, which we...
Or Wild Swans.
From Wild Swans, yes, just in a different version than you played today. Yes, this version, Be the Voice. That is indeed an original version.
It is. It is.
That's how I composed it for soprano and orchestra. And it introduced Princess Eliza onto the stage in the ballet.
Right.
It expressed her pure heart and her believe in the good in the world.
You could listen to it forever.
You're very kind to me and to my music. Thank you. It was fun to write.
How did you write it? What were you thinking when you wrote it? Did you sit down and drinking a coffee at a cafe and say, I think I'll write a song?
That would be very nice if that happened. No, I was at the piano and I was thinking, how can I make the soprano that was part of our workshop have fun so that she has something to sing? Because she said the night before, can I have some material? So I was under pressure to create something. And I just decided to do it like a study. What would it be if I create a melody that's based on three chords? That was in my head.
Really?
At the same time, I was looking at the picture of a swan, because it was a piece about swans. And I, for some reason, that swan started kind of almost moving in my head when I was kind of, it was an illusion, of course, when I was just playing. I just played on the piano, and it just came. Those three chords, very simple, A minor, C major, F major. And I very often create things, pieces, as studies.
Right.
And they then grow, and then I put little melodies on top of them, and then it's all about rhythm and syncopation.
Right.
Syncopation is when the off emphasis beat. The emphasis is on the wrong bit and not on the down bit.
One of the characteristics of the music for which you are renowned is your propensity to collaborate with others.
I love collaboration.
You're well known for it. Give us an example of a couple of people with whom you have collaborated.
Well, this year I'm collaborating quite a lot with the Australian Chamber Orchestra on a few different projects. We played live soundtrack to the Claymation, which I scored, called Memoir of a Snail, director and creator Adam Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
That was really powerful experience for me to actually perform with them as well, not just create music. I'm now writing some music for them for a couple of projects coming up, one of which is for children, opening on the 1st of October, called Where to Hide a Star.
Where to Hide a Star.
Yes. I'm collaborating with a lot of people, with the librettists, with the Tasmanian Symphony Orchestra as well. Yeah, I've been very blessed.
The TSO is a favourite of yours? Because
I can't say that, because there's other orchestras that I also work with.
I can't ask you to pick your favourite, can I? Give us somebody else with whom you've collaborated.
Well, now that I'm here today, and you've already mentioned the album that's come out just now, called
Ancient Letters.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I've collaborated here with a very close performer, close colleague, as well as unbelievable visionary, stunning concert pianist, as well as improviser, thinker, conceptualizer, leader. I would call her a leader. Her name, shall I reveal the name?
Why don't you?
Oh, an unbelievable person called Tamara Anna Shizlovska.
If you could introduce her now?
Yes.
What would you introduce her as? How would you introduce her?
A spectacular person. She's actually a genius, and I don't use that word lightly.
Okay.
I use that word very rarely, and she is a genius, and I've seen her develop from a child into this unbelievable musician. What's also making her so special, she's passionate about integrity in music, about bringing music forward. She's interested in creating, in people creating music today, and she is very, very, she uses music as it's something very precious. So she's very particular about the way she performs. every piece of music, be it written 100 years ago, 500 years ago, or today.
Well, why don't you say hello to Tamara Anna Chislovska? She's on the phone and she joined us
oh,
now.
Oh, no, really?
Say hello to Tamara.
Amazing.
Hello.
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 Hi, Tamara.
Hello,
I don't
my beauties. And Elena.
Hello, genius.
I don't think I need to introduce you to each other, but here you are, both welcome onto Monday Drive. Tamara, when we spoke last, I believe it was in around about April this year, I described you and Elena as sisters in music. Yes. Tell us the story of your musical association with Elena. How long have you known
sisters
each other, for example?
Sisters in music. Yeah. Soldiers in the musical war. When Elena was introducing me before, I thought you were looking for the word friend, Elena. Do you think? I think we're friends. Are we?
Yes.
You called me a colleague. You called me a pianist. Many things. We're still friends, huh?
We are very great friends. But it's just,
we're still friends.
Yes.
Even after this, the recording that we did, Ancient Letters, which took so long to come to fruition, was interrupted by COVID and by all sorts of things. And it feels like such a labor of love and something that took... Well, really, it took almost 10 years from when we first thought about it. Well, when I asked about it, it was probably 2019 or 2018, in fact. But my association with Elena goes way back to the 1990s.
Mm.
And one afternoon that I got a phone call, not from Elena, but actually from another wonderful producer called Belinda Webster, and she might have been producing an album of Elena's music. Elena had not long come back from many years being very successful in Germany, and she was re-establishing herself in Australia. And Belinda just handed me the phone and said, "You two need to know each other." And I said, "Okay." And so I just started talking to Elena. And she was lovely, and she talks 20 to the dozen, that's the thing. And she told me all many different things, different pieces, so on, to the point that my head was almost spinning. And I think during that conversation was the first time I agreed to premiere one of Elena's works, and this is before I'd even met her. And hadn't really heard her music either. And then when I did hear her music, I was so so compelled by it, so astonished in a way by it. It gave me so much joy because it was just at once as compelling as it was distinctive, and it was obvious that she had this vast talent and could write in so many different ways. And as Chris Latham says in the booklet, for our album, Ancient Letters, she will change your life and she will change the way you love music and she will make you love music more than you ever have before.
I wonder if there's any special moment, Tamara, that has struck with you as particularly memorable, and I'm talking about with the association with Elena.
Well, the first memorable thing that happened was that we actually performed together and we performed someone else's music, Morton Feldman, famous American composer.
Do you remember that, Elena?
Do you remember, Elena? Of course. It was a piece of music that was very unusual. It had only one page and we all had the same piece, but we had to play it at our time. And whoever was finished first could leave. So who was first?
You were.
Because I'm always quite fast. And but my tempo is always quite fast. I talk fast. And Tamara knows that. Mm. You do know that. And and there was four of us.
I just remember, you know, Alan was asking about when was that moment. So in that, I remember when I performed with you then. But what I remember more than the performance itself, which was kind of funny because you did finish 5 minutes before everyone else. In your most reflective moment, was the rehearsal process that we had and just talking with you in between rehearsals. And I remember at the time you were saying, you know, things like, "I'm 37, I'm going to be 40 soon. And I was like, 40's fine. Don't worry about it. It's, you know, and you look like 23. Remember we talked about things like that? We talked about how we didn't like to practice very much.
That's true.
We,
I still don't.
We much prefer to do the performance because in the practice room, people can ask you again and again to repeat something which you may not be able to do. But once you're on the concert platform, that's it. And it's a particular kind of red light pressure or pressure that some people thrive in. And actually, I discovered then that Elena, I think like me, is one of those people.
Right. I wonder, I suspect, Tamara, it is unfair to ask you which of Elena's works you've enjoyed the most prior to the current album. But would Butterflying be in the mix, do you think?
Oh, Butterflying is the top 10.
Well, isn't it extraordinary? Mm-hmm. I've got Elena in the studio, I've got Tamara on the phone, and I'm playing a piece of music written by Elena, played by Tamara. That's fantastic, Butterflying, isn't it?
Thank you.
I'm going to say yes, and Elena will say, thank you, you're welcome.
I have said thank you.
She did, she did.
But very quietly because...
she didn't want to interrupt the music, which I have done.
Sorry.
Quite irreverently. Let's talk about the current album, Ancient Letters. Elena, what Ancient Letters are you referring to and how does it relate to your heritage?
Well, I come from Uzbekistan. I was born in Tashkent. And while creating this work, Tamara was actually helping me with the conceptualizing of it. And we discovered that the first letter ever in existence comes from the Sogdian people in that area where I was growing up in and around Samarkand, and somehow that inspired the whole concerto. A story about a deserted lonely woman who didn't know if she's going to survive or ever go back to Samarkand after her husband disappeared and she was left destitute, and she's writing this letter of basically begging for help.
Mm. Last week I played a teaser and it was Tiger Cub.
That was her name, Myunai in the language, and it meant Tiger Cub, and she was a feisty, strong and hopeful woman, but we don't know what actually happened to her in the end.
Mm. Tamara, when you're presented with a new work like this one, how do you become part of the musical fabric? Surely it's not as simple as simply looking at the score and saying, I understand it. How do you become entrenched in the music?
Yeah, it isn't that simple at all. It can be a process of months and years, and sometimes you might never achieve the sort of understanding you'd like to. I know, for example, with Ancient Letters, that we're just talking about, that's where Tiger Cub comes from. Elena Katz-Chan is the perfect person to write this piece about a feisty young woman in the Samarkand area, because she has breathed that air. She has eaten the food there. She knows what it looks like. She knows what it feels like. And I suppose it's amazing for me to then work with Elena and kind of try to put myself in that position and to understand through the score, but also through spending time with Elena, through some kind of osmosis, I'm hoping, to get a better insight into why she's done certain things, or why this key works here, why this structure is the right thing, why she's used this particular melody. And I think one of the wonderful things about Elena is that she sources material from all kinds of places. So she has incredible filing cabinet in her mind where she not only has all of her pieces, but she has sort of excerpts and things from her imagination that she's thought of, but she's never used.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's actually like discussing it with a librarian sometimes. And she'll say, oh, yes, there was this piece, da, 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 and then she'll play it. And it's quite extraordinary, actually, Alan, if you see it in motion.
And I wonder, Elena, how did you describe to Tamara what you were feeling when you wrote this in order that she could interpret it and play it as magnificently as she has?
To be absolutely clear and honest, is Tamara was there when I was writing it. So she grew with the piece when the piece was happening, because we also tried sketches of it on two pianos I orchestrated it, because originally the first time when I write a piece, I write it for piano and piano. I don't write it straight away for piano and orchestra. So it's called short score. Right. And later it's orchestrated. But while it's in the short score, Tamara and I were often playing through material and discussing it also. Is it good? Does it need more development? Where is it strong? Where is it weak? And so Tamara grew with the piece as it was actually being created.
Right. And also on the album is Piano Concerto No. 5.
Yes.
And it's called Lebavol.
Lebavol, which means farewell.
Means farewell. It means farewell. Did that farewell have anything to do with J.S. Bach?
How do you know? Yes, you do. Yes, it's about the loss of his first wife, Maria Barbara, who very sadly died at childbirth while he was away working. And so when he arrived back from a trip, she was gone, and he had to cater for his children, to care for his children who were there already.
There's a bit of drama in the music.
It's anger. It's anger and drama. It's very painful. I remember writing the first movement thinking it has to be this desperation.
And in fact, you've even named the movements, haven't you? This is movement number one, called The Deep and Bitter Flood. It's unusual to name the movements of a concerto, isn't it?
Yes, but it kind of helps the listener to immerse in the piece of music. It helps to imagine something. It helps to understand it, and I think it just adds richness to the listening experience.
Right. Tamara, the concerto was written, it was commissioned for you, and there were huge wide range of emotions expressed by Elena across all of the five segments. How did you come to understand the flow of the piece in order to put the expression, which you clearly have, onto the keyboard?
Yeah, it's a wonderful it's a rainbow in many ways of emotion, and it fits together perfectly. That's what's so wonderful about Lebavol. It has these five movements, and they flow seamlessly one to the next. And if you take one of them away, it seems completely wrong. I remember actually about with the naming of the movements, which does help. It really gives you. The sense of what you're about to hear. But I remember, do you remember, Elena, that I suggested to you several psalms of Martin Luther?
Yes.
And I put one in front of you for each one, and you chose what quotation you thought would be the best as the title.
And I remember, you suggested the five phases of grief as well.
Yeah, that's right. And going through anger and loss and then despair, and like eventually there's a catharsis really that has to take place and moving on. And so it's interesting, Alan, when you play the piece, which I have done now, I'm going to say I've done it live two or three times, and of course the recording, which was over several days, it does have a certain catharsis to it.
Yeah.
And you do have those feelings, and I think the listener is the same, because people have often said to me it was incredible. You know, it's a full circle in a way, but you do start in a place of great anger and tumultuous emotion.
Mm. Right. Yeah. I wonder for both of you, how does it feel having a backing group like the Tasmanian Symphony Orchestra? Huh. It is
luxury.
It's just magnificent.
Yeah, Tasmanian TSO is the best. They really are.
They're wonderful.
I've done so many recordings with them now, and they're just so generous and so forward-looking, And I just love everyone in the orchestra and the organization. They're always ready to listen to a new crazy idea and to support it. And, you know, they find it's easier, I guess, because they're a smaller orchestra than some of our really big symphony orchestras.
Right.
But I think that just some of the most valuable people and musicians that we have in Australia.
And in the few seconds that we have left, and I recognise that we could talk all day and nothing would give me greater pleasure, but regrettably we can't, tell us about the Bach study. Which is, I should say, the reason I'm pulling these pieces together is because they are all on this wonderful new album by Elena Katz-Chernin called Ancient Letters, and they feature Tamara's wonderful piano playing, and it's called Elena Katz-Chernin Ancient Letters, and it does feature, amongst a number of other things, the Bach study.
Based on a piece of Bach cello suite, I used the first bar of the cello piece of that suite, and just rearranged the notes and made the whole piece based on that bar. And that's why it's called Bach Study. It was a commission, and it was commissioned specifically to write a piece in tribute to Bach.
Elena Katz-Chernin, it's wonderful to have you here in the studio. And Tamara Anna Czizlowska, thank you both so much for joining us here. It's been an honour and a privilege.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan.
You have been listening to Eastside Radio Podcast. For selections of more enjoyable content like this, visit our website, eastsidefm.org, and click on Podcast.